The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus prayed, "I do not pray for these, my disciples only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me, Father. I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be here with me where I am, to behold my glory, which thou hast given me in thy love for me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee. And these know that thou hast sent me. I made known to them thy name, and I will make it known, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord. A vision of darkness infused with love. Jesus comes to pray for us today. This is the other Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is one actually that we pray, that he taught us. But this one he prays for us. "The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, so that they may be one, even as we are one." But of course, the vision of darkness is that we're not one. We're not one internally. There are those things which fray at the edges here at Good Shepherd. We're certainly not one if there's a billion denominations and a new one every other day. We're not one in the religious communities. People from the beginning of time have killed each other in the name of God, Christians and others. And so this vision of darkness cries out for the prayer that Jesus prayed. So I was at a meeting of religious leaders in New York where we were welcoming and receiving Patriarch Bartholomew of the Orthodox Church. And when it was over, it was at the Greek Orthodox house on 79th and Central Park, Fifth Avenue. We all, the leaders, spilled out onto the street, and it was like a remake of the movie Men in Black. The Armenian leader in his black robe with the head, which is supposed to be Mount Ararat. I had a rabat on and a pectoral cross bigger than Delaware. And this guy pulls up in a cab. He's wearing a turban, and he looks at all of us. I get in the cab, and this is what he said to me. These were exact words. "Are you from the division of Christianity that follows Jesus?" I said, "Are you a Sikh?" He said, "How'd you know that?" I said, "You got a turban, your name is Singh, I took a shot." He said, "Yes, I am." And then I said to him, "And you worship at your golden temple in Richmond Hill, Queens, on Jamaica Avenue, right?" And he said, "How'd you know that?" And then I said, "And your leader, the Baba of Amritsar, is going to be in town?" He said, "How did you?" And he pulled over. And he wanted me to talk to him
about Jesus. He wasn't signing up to be converted, but he was curious. There was something in him that reached out to someone who tried to learn a little about his own spiritual journey. Now, he knows well the vision of darkness in religion. As a Sikh in India, especially during a time of Hindu ascension in public and the problems and sometimes the riots that happen in the name of God among Hindus, Sikhs, and Muslims in that country. And so the vision of darkness was certainly there in the car, but he asked me to tell him, boil it down. What is Jesus' message for us? And in the back seat of a cab in New York, the vision of darkness was infused with a vision of love. I said, Jesus is God being with us, our brother. And he wants all of us to be one. And in his death and resurrection, Christians believe that God is repairing and restoring the whole world and all creation. So Jesus comes to pray for us today. By the way, he turned the meter off. So Jesus comes to pray for us today. This prayer is a prayer, it's as if the pastor was praying out loud for you and pouring out his soul, and the door was open so you could hear him praying for you. Our good shepherd, we're overhearing him praying for us. But it was in the midst of a vision of darkness. You see, the thing is, God doesn't look away from the vision of darkness. God doesn't avoid it. This was the night in which he was betrayed. This was the night in which he would be abandoned. This was the night where the vision of darkness would take his life, and in the name of religion and in the name of the state, he would be killed. And yet, in the midst of that, he prayed for us. In the Gospel of John, love begins to be the thing most on Jesus' mind and heart. Jesus becomes insistent about love, speaking about it more and more. Earlier in this chapter, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he names self-denying, sacrificial love for one another as what he desires. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than that he give his life for another, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus looked at them in that upper room in the vision of darkness and said to them and to us, you are my friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. And this I command, to love one another. This beautiful prayer, Jesus' last will and testament, I want you to listen to the connectedness in it, because you see what a vision of darkness is and does is it leaves us alone and unconnected. It leaves us staring at our own mortality. It leaves us in our lives sometimes in a hall of mirrors where all we can see are ourselves or ours. We can't see each other anymore. We know what that looks like in our public arena. The vision of darkness is real. But listen to the connectedness as Jesus prays for us and for our world. I do not pray for these, my disciples only, but also, and now he's praying for us, for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be in us. But now you're going to hear a couple of times the word so that. See, it's not enough for us just to be one and, you know, bake some s'mores and sing Kumbaya. So that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now remember in the Gospel of John, when Jesus says the word glory, it means the cross. When the Son of Man is glorified, okay. Then he prays, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them. And of course, almost all the disciples didn't die in bed. It was a laying down of their life. But it's been given to us too. The self-denying love. That they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may become perfectly one. Again, so that the world, again, it's about the world. The world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them, even as thou hast loved me. Does this world know, does this sweet old world know that God loves them, us, together? Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which thou hast given me in thy love for me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these know that thou hast sent me. I made known to them thy name, and I will make it known, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. He is weaving the connections of the body of Christ in the world. Look at the connections. The first connection, the connection of God, perfect community, Father, Creator, Spirit, Connector, Son, Jesus, who died and rose again because of God's love, connected to the 12, connected to us, connected to Paul and Silas, and a slave girl, connected through the centuries. You see, this is a prayer for us. The church, Good Shepherd, gathered here this morning. I am praying for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. The word handed down from the disciples, from Mary Magdalene and the other women who were with Jesus as he died and rose, to Paul and Silas, the word handed down through St. Augustine and Mother Teresa, passed on to Martin Luther and Joan of Arc, handed down through Sunday school and VBS, teachers, deaconesses, refugees, slaves, and tenant farmers, passed on by your grandparents, the word washing over all of us in baptism. You and I are among those for whom Jesus came to pray today. And the heart of the prayer is this, that we may be one, so the world might know God loves them. This is what's so needed in our fractured world. That our love and concern really include all. That our education efforts will take us to those with special needs, as they do here at Good Shepherd, as well as those who learn with little difficulty. That our membership drives will take us to shelters as well as condos and mansions. That we will see older adults as full of promise as the children in our Sunday school. This is not my prayer. It is Jesus who prays for us. And in the spirit of Jesus, we pray, oh, make us truly one. Jesus comes to pray for us today. And here's what that prayer looks like in the middle of a vision of darkness. Come with me inside a state penitentiary in Pennsylvania with Deacon Ernest Davis, a member of New Hope Lutheran Church in the Bronx, where he is serving and appealing a life sentence for murder. A vision of darkness infused with love. He has a powerful ministry behind the walls, reaching out as a spiritual counselor and mentor to young inmates, leading worship and Bible study. After I shared in a Bible study with them, he wrote this letter to me and poured out his heart. The chapel is always packed, and it's because a good many young men have turned to God. They become true members of the church, attending regular Bible studies and prayer meetings. But in the past 3 years, I've seen so many of them go out of the prison and return in a short period of time. I sat down with a few of them to find out why they leave as young, hopeful Christians and return in such a short time. The answer is always the same: no support. No contact with or from the Christian community. What I would like to see, Bishop, is the establishing of Christian support groups in local congregations who will accept these young, new Christians in the church community, nurture their faith, pray with them, help them. Jesus prayed for this on the night in which he was betrayed. Deacon Ernest ended by saying, "I'm sorry, Bishop, but I can't seem to help it. My mind is forever on ways to somehow help save these children. My prayer is always like that of the prophet Isaiah. Send me, Lord." So I'm praying with Ernest and others for churches to answer this challenge, remembering that the first one home to whom Jesus offered a new beginning was a thief on the cross. I'm proud of the missions behind the walls of this church of Good Shepherd, Prison Fellowship, Angel Tree, and the ministry at Statesville. The ELCA has started over 20 new congregations behind the walls, including two for people in recovery. Jesus prayed for this. The vision of darkness is real. I think about other prisoners and captives. Mass incarceration and the systemic racism which drives it. The folks who meet in our churches trying to live one day at a time, jailed by addiction. Our metropolis unable to see issues of race and poverty and immigration. The couples whose relationships are imprisoned in a downward spiral of deteriorating trust. The people who serve whose lives are hemmed in by limited opportunities or grinding poverty. The successful ones whose jailer is status, power, possessions, and hanging on to them at all costs, including their families. Those whose lives are daily defined and bled away by email, social media, and all of the other things that distract us from what matters. Those who are sick, chronically ill, homebound. Those who every day are respite givers and caregivers for those who are chronically ill. Those losing a grip on faith or vision for the future, embroiled by conflict, done in by worry. I'm in that list, so are you. This is a vision of darkness in which we can feel alone, unconnected, abandoned, discarded, hopeless. A vision of darkness, longing for love. That's why Jesus comes to pray for us today. In our story in Acts, the vision of darkness comes into view with a female slave, exploited, commodified, used. She'd lost her humanity, her freedom, her dignity, her vulnerability as someone mentally ill and possessed of a demon was used against her. She wasn't a person to her owners or society. She was a money-making thing, alone in her misery, totally alone. This is indeed a bleak vision of darkness. What does this vision of darkness look like in our time? Whose vulnerabilities are exploited today? And especially exploited for profit. Perhaps the evil spirit in her was reaching out for connection. Day after day, she followed Paul and Silas, shouting, "These are the servants of the Most High God, telling you how to be saved." Paul and Silas tried to avoid this vision of darkness, and day after day, she followed them, screaming, until they'd had it. And they call out the evil spirit. "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." They were annoyed, but they faced the vision of darkness with an act of love. Did they perhaps see in this castaway person the one they served abandoned on the cross and his solidarity with her? Well, it got him into prison because, you see, when the gospel is proclaimed, when evil is faced, in the name of Jesus, things change. So Paul and Silas in jail. A vision of darkness infused with a vision of love. Like Deacon Ernest Davis. Not alone, but connected. Singing hymns and prayers to God, connected to the other prisoners who heard them. And then the jailer, whose vision of darkness became infused with love, a love so powerful he wanted to be a part of it. The jailer's response, inviting them to his house, washing their wounds. Powerful connection, a vision of love permeating the whole household. Like Lydia, the whole household baptized, then sharing a meal. Jesus' prayer answered that they may be one. Like today, here, where a vision of darkness is infused with love, connection, belonging. And in the midst of facing the vision of darkness in our lives and in this world, Jesus comes to pray for us. Finally, this. Her name is Rhoda. She was from England. She lived alone. She made a living cleaning other people's houses. And the only thing that passed for a family in her life was our little congregation in Queens. When Rhoda died, as she was dying, I went to see her in the hospital. It was the bleakest vision of darkness I've seen. Alone, in pain, she just looked at me, and this is what she said. Is this all there is? Really? The vision and infusion of love can help us break through even the worst vision of darkness, our own mortality. Is this all there is? No, I said. The curtains were closed. I brought out some bread and wine, took her by the hand. We shared some scripture passages. Then we prayed the Lord's Prayer together, and I could hear the names, people praying with us. And I saw little feet sticking under the curtains. I opened the curtains, and there were interns, people who clean the hallways, nurses and nurses' aides around us, praying with us and with her. Jesus came to church today to pray that we would be one and connected so that the world, Rhoda, taxi drivers, our children and grandchildren might know how much God loves them. When we were done with the liturgy, they took over. Thanks, Pastor, we got it. They smothered her in love and care. We're with you, you're not alone. And she died connected and loved. Jesus came to pray for us today. I pray that you may be one so that the world might know how much I love them. Amen.